You're listening to DC Domination on the NovaStream Network, your weekly guide for the DC Comics universe. For all the latest on The Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow, keep it locked on novastream.com.au.
Hello and welcome to DC Domination episode 12, where everything awesome about DC happens because we like DC stuffs. And my name's Brittany, who likes DC stuffs. And another person who likes DC stuffs is Alistair, who's back, baby!
Or should I say, in keeping with the evening, hello!
Isn't me you're looking for?
That wasn't the version, but okay.
Oh, whoops. In addition, we have Ryan, who is giggling a little there.
Look, I'm trying to work out, you know, which era we want to hang out. Like, are we going to head to Adele? We go on some Lionel? And then there's that dance remix Hello song from a couple of years ago, but it's beside the point.
So. Yeah, beside the point as well, just which I don't know if that can be taken as a compliment or not. We have Dylan!
Hello, 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 hello.
Oh! Oh. Nice!
Very well done. I very much appreciate that.
I do have the lights out, so it's less dangerous in here.
Oh. And those shorts you're wearing.
Ooh, yes, give
us... I told you, they're jeans.
All right, for those of you playing at home, Dylan's wearing a set of pants that are ripped to the shirt. And
shredded.
I know that I swore, but been in a place with a really cool noise, so I'm going to say more swear words like shit and balls. Balls is not really a swear word.
No, I don't bother anymore. With them.
You don't bother with balls?
No.
That's a shame.
Go nuts. Nuts and balls. Loving this thought. Yeah, I'm so happy to have Alistair back. What have you been doing with yourself? If I know you can get your words out.
I took a backseat break. That sounds really sexual. But all the social media and editing has been my fun job for the last couple of months. And I want to have some fun. So I'm like, damn it, screw it, I'm back.
Yes, you're back for a very special point in our podcast today, which will be in the middle and near the news section for Ooh. Batman Bad Blood.
Oh, I thought it was like you're holding a party for me or something, and now I'm just disappointed.
No, we're going to be holding a party the whole way through and celebrating and being extra awesome just because you're here. Just because.
Aww.
Yeah. Which, yeah, cool. So let's jump right into it then. Well, so straight off the bat, we have Supergirl. And Dylan, do you have a little rundown? Because you reviewed it this week, didn't you?
I did, as a matter of fact.
Because I was off not doing work. I'm like, Dylan, you do it. I'm awesome
and
like that.
Do it, I did.
You did.
So let's hit it. Okay, let me just... I'll go off the top of my head and see how we go. So right. Kara comes face to face with a bizarro doppelganger of her, who was brought to life by Maxwell Lord through a combination of genetics from her DNA and a comatose victim. The double is programmed to destroy Supergirl. Kara, on the other hand, believes that Maxwell is the one the DO should go after when she realizes he knows her secret by sending Bizarro out to kill her. Alex and Hank come up with a plan to keep Maxwell from exposing Kara while countering Bizarro with a synthetic blue kryptonite. Meanwhile, Kara starts to get to know Adam, but is not sure where to take the next step. Da da da! And that was pretty much Supergirl. So on Flash this week.
Well, I feel like they've continued on with the whole. Because the previous week we had Hank Henshaw as Supergirl, and we had that double up going on, and that worked really seamlessly. And I think this whole episode worked really well with the two Supergirls fighting each other. Visually, I thought it was very, very good.
No.
I like that she started out like as just a plain old...
I was like, no.
No.
No. I like that she was like started out as just like a normal Supergirl, and then over time developed the kind of bizarro look when her face got a bit beat down.
So why do you say no, Alistair? What makes you go no?
Okay, so last week's episode, freaking phenomenal. White Martian, we saw flashbacks to Mars of Martian Manhunter's past. Amazing. This new mammoth threat. And then we get to this week and it's like, oh, I'm Supergirl too. And it's all wrapped up in one little episode. And Bizarro never felt threatening. Maxwell Lord is a douchebag with a $1 million bank account.
More like
there's
Maxwell
nothing
Ford.
Threatening about him at all. Like, it's just, I just thought it was really rushed and it felt ridiculous, and I just, and I've never said this about a Supergirl episode before, but I actually hated it.
Ooh, ouch.
The only thing I liked was Cat Grant's line when, oh, can we spoiler?
Yeah, we do it all the time.
Okay, when Supergirl or Kara was breaking up with the boy whose name I always forget. James,
Adam.
Right?
Adam.
Adam, thank you.
Mr. Foster.
And
I'll foster some feelings for that guy.
And Kara's like, can we have a minute? And Cat Grant goes, don't mind me, I'll just roam the halls of my building.
Just waddles out.
Yeah. But that was like literally the highlight of the episode. The rest, throw it in the trash. Bizarro should have been a 3 to 4 episode villain. Instead, it was a watered down disappointment.
I do have a question though. With, like, at the very end, we see Kara fly into her apartment, and it's sort of like, she, how do people not just track her and see her going into Kara's apartment?
Thank you. That's what every I said time. Too. I'm like, someone could be watching you and going, "Yeah, Supergirl lives across the road. What the hell?"
Oh my goodness! Or like, there's, what's happening in there that she always has to go to this person's apartment?
Why was she having a conversation with Adam in the park, and then she gets swooped up by Bizarro Supergirl, and then they never bring it up again between the two of them? He's like, oh my god, you got kidnapped the other day and,
no,
and swept away.
He did bring it up when she was breaking up with him, and she brushed it off. He was like, I just saw you get swooped away by this blah blah blah, and she's like, I'm breaking up with you. And then it was all forgotten about ridiculously. Like, that really irritated me. It was lazy writing at its finest. I swear they've swapped writers with Arrow.
Anyway, it's funny how I couldn't care less for Wynn and James ending up in a relationship with Kara, but as soon as Adam turns up, it's like, this would work. There's chemistry there. They actually work well together. I'm pretty sure the actors are married in real life, which probably helps a lot. But
really?
Yeah, they were both from Glee, which that is, I know definitely, but I'm pretty sure they're married. Sorry?
Yes, they are married in real life.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, oh, they better do a sex scene, because they could just go for it. There would be literally no part.
That got me really excited, not in like a... Only because we know that Grant Gustin's coming in to do The Flash in a couple episodes.
So excited you sat in Glad Wrap?
Yeah. I'm sweating out the excitement.
Anyway, at the very end, like, we've talked about how... Yeah, it wasn't very much of a big episode, but at the very end, we see something in Kara's apartment. Now, I have absolutely no idea what this thing is. Is it alien? Is it earthly? Is it man-made? Do you guys have any idea? Have you come across this in the comics?
Starro.
Really?
Yep.
Ooh.
Calling it.
Like,
I've been right about everything else I predicted on this show, so I'm going to put it out there and say, definitely Starro.
So this is a guess. This isn't, you've read it and you're saying
no,
it.
No, this is a guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It sounds like a Pokemon.
Star me and star you, but not Starro.
Oh, sorry.
Star me, star you. No, Starro.
Starry.
That would be an interesting
show. Yeah, crossover. Yeah. But yeah, the Flash is going to come on. Talking of flashovers, crossovers.
Flash.
Ooh.
Pretty cool flashover, which is pretty exciting. What I was saying before Dylan's neckbeard got in the way was, because, you know, if Grant comes over, because he's worked on Glee as well, so they'll all have this rad chemistry.
It'll
going
be like
on.
A Glee union. I'm so excited.
But Adam's gone home, so...
Maybe he might come back.
Mm.
Maybe he'll
just
come
in general.
Maybe Flash
Maybe Flash will go to an alternate future or universe where everybody just sings instead of talks. It'll be a musical episode.
Don't even joke.
The music maestro.
And they could have Supergirl, but it wouldn't affect her continuity. And they could have Flash, it wouldn't affect his continuity. And everyone just sings. It's a fun episode.
Well, they've already kind of said that the episode is titled World's Finest, which is pretty exciting. Sorry if anyone else was going to say that. And apparently they discussed that the Flash universe and Arrow universe are not the same Earth as Supergirl.
Oh, so it's the same Barry Allen, but not the same
that
Earth.
That way, they don't have to explain, A, why Arrow's not there, and B, why no one in the Flash or Arrow has heard of Superman.
I like it.
Earth. So that makes total sense.
I like
right?
it, yeah.
That's a really good way to get around that. Well done.
Standing ovation. I'm clapping my hands that I don't want to destroy microphones. Did anyone have like a highlight moment from this episode, or was it just all like, get this off my screen?
When it finished.
When it finished.
I like the ridiculousness that Wynn, who has been pining over Kara since the first episode and then had a big meltdown and cried about it and pouted for two episodes, decides to talk to her again, and then she decides to show interest in somebody else completely, and he's like, hey, let's have a girl moment and everybody sit around and talk about Kara's love life. Jimmy, get over here. She's going on a date. I'm like, what?
Yeah, he got over it a bit quick.
And he's like, you should totally go for it, Jimmy. And he's like, I've got a girlfriend. He's like, yeah, but you know, if you love someone, then dump them and go out with Supergirl.
Best way to do it.
Yeah, I hear it's the answer. Oh.
Mm. Yeah,
is that really what was said?
Yeah.
It's pretty much no one wants to be in a relationship when the other person is looking at someone else. It was something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Keep that bottle of whiskey here.
He's just so hardcore. Anyway. Let's jump right on over to Flash. Now, Flash was pretty good. I liked it. Ryan, do you have a synopsis for this one?
I do. Let me pull it up. Flash, Season 2, Episode 12. Barry teams up with Wells to find a way to close the breaches, but then they are distracted by a metahuman nicknamed Tar Pit, who can transform into liquid asphalt. Meanwhile, Iris becomes concerned for Wally's safety when she learns he is drag racing. Barry learns that he is slowing down and that Wells is behind the lack of speed. Mm. Yeah, so Wells puts this little speed-drainy tool in his Flash symbol on his suit and...
The least obvious place to look.
Yeah.
Well, the least obvious is the obvious, but it's not obvious.
And it created the least threatening situation where Iris gets hit by a shard of glass and it's almost like she was shot in the face.
But how cool was that?
The amount of hospital time.
That was amazing.
Yeah, that part was really cool, but the after effect, I was like,
oh yeah,
you were hit with a shard of glass, man. Like,
pretty much in your heart.
She's in hospital for like 78 days.
Well, think about it. It's pretty much right near her heart. So they got to make sure that there are no problems. There are no...
It was literally in the upper shoulder part. Stupid.
Okay, we'll have to look at that one again. But
we'll have
I
to go
just
the action replay. But in the actual the him trying to catch it and not being able to quite do it as it flung towards Iris's face, but missed and hit her shoulder. That part was pretty cool. At least.
Beautiful.
Did anyone else just shrug their shoulders and go, "Meh, it's only Iris"?
That's my point.
Well, no, because I felt that scene was handled with amazingly, and so I actually did care.
Did you go,
I think I cared more for Barry, that he what he would feel for that. I think the fact that they had Iris in short shorts and tights and fur jacket,
undercover.
I'm like, you are not undercover, hon. You were like from the 80s. What is
so
going on here? It's just that was
you
shocking.
You ratchet girl, you ratchet.
I thought it was cool that they had tried to push her character a bit and that she's pressing the drag race boss. It was a stupid move, but it's cool that they've done that for her. That she's actually doing something. She's not just a lump on the log.
Well, she's a very good lump.
It's like she did something. She got nailed in the shoulder and she's a lump again.
Well, I hope... Well, we're going to see her again... Oh, you know what would be awesome?
What?
If Barry actually marries Iris from Earth 2 and she's, like, kick-ass.
That would be pretty awesome.
And, Earth 1 Iris just gets...
Boom.
...ripped off again.
Boom. I think I'm going to have to do a... I'm happy with that.
Dropping bombshells. Well, because that's... Well, as we know from next week, they're going to Earth 2, but... Sort of talk about this week's episode.
We're going Tarpit to was boring. Sorry.
No, well, I loved... yeah, the slow-mo was fantastic. We had a bit more of Wally, which was cool. I think we've now seen the moment where he's realized he's going to start idolizing the Flash. I wonder how they're going to do the whole... Because in the comics, they had Barry Allen pretty much say, "Hey, I know the Flash, let me take you to my office," and runs out, and then comes back in as the Flash, and runs out, and comes back in as Barry. So I wonder how they're actually going to make it good.
Ooh, okay.
He's just going to be guzzling that Speed Force, I think.
Yeah, maybe there'll be some sort of, like, speed mirage that where they can be in the same room. I don't know.
I think the Tar Pit as well may have been a bit stilted. Like, they made him look very creepy, like, coming back from the dead with his, with the tar covering his eyes, like, war paint. And then as well, turning him into, like, molten tar, like Muk from Pokemon. I think that actually worked well. Like, I was worried. Did you guys think it was done well? Do you guys think... did you hate it? Did you love it?
I was so excited.
Excited?
To see it.
Yeah.
Like, when he started changing, I was like... when I saw what they did with Killer Shark, I was like, oh my god, it's going to be like Clayface. It's going to look so amazing. And then at the end, he started to turn into, like, the full monster. I'm like, no, it looks terrible, stop it!
I thought it looked really good.
No, it didn't.
Well, I love that we're split. Like, Alistair, why did you love it? Why did you think it looked really good?
Because it did? There's no explanation. I just thought it looked great.
Yeah, I thought it looked fine. I think
it was, especially at the end. Like, I thought the end actually made the character look threatening. And you could tell all the pent-up frustration and revenge and rage was all in that, you know, amalgamation of the monster at the end, and I thought it was fitting, but that's just me.
It's no Killer Shark, that's all I'm saying.
Well, I don't think anything's going to be Killer Shark again, because that was amazing.
And Gorilla Grodd, they're on equal playing ground, and then Tar Pit's just a bit meh.
Well, they're going to put the money...
He's like Monster of the Week. He's not like a big character that... comic book fans know and love, because honestly, up until that episode, never heard of it. so that's fine, I think, to do that.
I reckon the episode could have been better. It's not one of the best that Flash has put forward. Like, I'm so used to having such a roller coaster of emotion, and I mean, you sort of get that with Wells, in that he's kind of like Barry's almost trying to search for something in Wells, and Wells is refusing. Because he's just so concerned about Jesse. But it's... I don't know. It was missing. Flash was missing something this week. Sorry, off topic.
But still related to the Flash. Anytime someone says Wells, all I can think about is that episode of this when Dylan introduced his synopsis with, anytime someone says Wells, that's all I think of.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Oh, get off! Get out!
Now, but I gotta give him credit. Like, Tom Cavanaugh is still excellent. Like,
he's amazing.
He's being like Wells, but he can still feel that he's different Wells. You know what I mean? I love that he's so successfully able to portray the same character, but in two completely different ways.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. There's like a new harshness to him. There's like he's brash. He's kind of not afraid to throw things across the room, and the whole like the thing with last week when Cisco's like, "Yeah, I'll have a couple of burgers from Big Valley Burger," and Wells is just like, "You have money." Like, it's this. Yeah. He's not a father figure, which I think that must be the central thing here. The last Harrison Wells was such a father to them all, like guiding them through this. Like, we can get through this, and this one is just like, I just want my daughter. I don't care really about any of you.
And I liked that dynamic in the whole thing that happened there.
With how, like, Harry just completely shut down Barry.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was really good and touching. So, like, for me, out of Supergirl, Arrow, and The Flash, it was all about The Flash this week.
Really? Because I actually thought Arrow came on top.
Oh, God. I actually fell asleep in Arrow.
I'm not kidding. I really did as well.
We'll get to that.
But this, yeah, that'll be interesting. Let's get on to the special segment. The wonderful, awesome, awesome. Some of us think it's awesome. We might be a bit slid on this one. Batman Bad Blood.
Oh.
Now, let's restrain. Thank you, no one, for singing Bad Blood. I swear that song just got it out of my head.
With Alistair's audio review, when the first thing I hear is that, you know, how it should have ended, bad, you know, Bat Blood, and they pissed my pants. It was amazing.
Yeah, like the he-she Bat Blood song. That would have been good. Why don't you give us another synopsis, Ryan, on Batman Bad Blood?
After a huge explosion, Batman goes missing with only Batwoman as a witness. Alfred calls Dick Grayson back to Gotham to investigate, and the sudden absence of Batman brings Damian home too. With Batwoman and Batwing at their side, the team rescue Bruce from Talia al Ghul, but not before she had Jervis Tetch change his psyche. The team then have to stop Bruce from aiding Talia as she tries to control the world leaders.
Mad Hatter has the stupidest normal name. Jervis Tetch. It sounds off.
I did enjoy seeing Mad Hatter in this, though.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't tend to pop up in a lot of things. And it was nice to see him. And I was like, all right. I like it. I did also like a lot of the touches from Alice. I know you mentioned this in your review as well, from the Batman and Robin run, and as well as Batman Incorporated. But that was really, really cool. And they also used that the Damian clone that, spoilers, in the New 52 killed Damian Wayne. So I like what they were going with.
Cool. Dylan, do you have any big moments that step out for you for this movie?
Big moments. Well, I love all the fight choreography that's carried over from the last two films of this series, where it's just this kinetic fighting, and they're so fast in their movements, and then their jump kicks and their spins and flips. It's just amazing. I wasn't a fan of the secondary villains. Like, I'm not familiar with Tusk or any of the other characters. I'm not sure if they've copied them from the storyline that they're following, or they've just plucked new characters out, but I felt a bit like, who are these people? What's going on? Like, it was Firefly was in there, but he looked like Iron Man, and there was an insect guy as well.
It was Moth.
The two of them looked very familiar, similar. So I wasn't a big fan of those guys. I loved the idea that was carrying through. I was talking to Ryan about it, how Batman is essentially, I'll save you the bleeping, just an a-hole. Like, he's a superhero, but he's not a good father, he's not a good friend, he's not a good mentor. He's so driven by his revenge that it ruins huge parts of his life. And the family dynamic that they build, you'd think, would kind of fill the hole in his heart of not having parents or not having brothers and sisters, but he just pushes everybody away. And that's an awesome trait to the character. He's not a likable person. And this really emphasized that in this movie.
I was going to say, speaking of Bat Family, though, this is my biggest issue. I was sitting through the whole thing, and I'm like, okay, cool, so we have him, we have Batwoman now, awesome, you guys need to hack something. Call Oracle, what are you doing? What's happening? Okay, keep going, whatever, yep, she's busy, Birds of Prey, whatever. Maybe Batgirl should be in this, Bat Family, yeah. By the end of it, when they're finally leaping off the building, I'm like, okay, average movie. Throne of Atlantis was amazing. That made me leap out of my seat. And this movie, I'm like, last 2 seconds. Okay, anyone who doesn't want this movie spoiled, jump ahead like a minute, because I'm about to freak out for about 5 minutes.
So jump ahead a minute.
I'm going to freak out for five minutes.
Come halfway and be like, get 4 minutes of freak out.
Freaking Batgirl steps out of the shadows, separate from the team. This starting Batgirl, like, they're showing her origin now. Like, they're gonna start off, but her origin is the New 52 suit, and it's just like 2 seconds. But I'm like, holy crap, it's Batgirl, and she's animated, and she's in the new movies, and yay!
Brittany actually sent me before and after shots of her face.
I did. My dog's actually next to me wondering what's wrong with me.
First photo is like, this movie's bollocks. Yep. Oh my god.
That's pretty much what happened. It's like, actually, as soon as I saw that yellow boot and purple tights, I'm like, holy crap, that's New 52 Batgirl. Holy crap, that's her utility belt. Holy crap, that's her cape. Oh my goodness, I'm gonna die in happiness.
But that was the most Britney fan service I have ever seen. Like, the movie is well over, and for no reason at all, Batgirl walks out.
Dude, just because
how
of that,
did you get
this
that
movie.
To happen? What did you do? Who did you send a letter to?
Well, guys, I'm going to say I bribed a few people, and they bribed me. And 5-star. I'm going to just give this film 5-star now. Well, 5.5 maybe out of 5. But the best thing I'm thinking about that is Killing Joke is coming up. So they've got this. They've got Justice League versus Teen Titans. They're going to have The Killing Joke coming out. And if it's going along this track, then maybe Birds of Prey will be an animated film. I know this is a huge stretch.
That is a massive leap.
That is a massive leap. But if we get Oracle, Oracle is Birds of Prey. So I'm just sort of, I'm going to send my letters off again and hopefully the same outcome. But anyway, oh goodness, man, you got no idea. what about you, Alistair? I had my fun rant. I'm happy to chill out now.
I was a bit mixed. It was overall, it was good, but there were some moments where I was like, "Meh, this is really boring." But I said that during the last two Batman animated films. But this was definitely better than the last two. I don't know, I just find, as I said in my review, Batman's just been done to death.
Yes.
And I think this was a good way to kind of say, here's all these other great Batman characters that you've seen little of or nothing of, so let's introduce them and hopefully we can do more with them later on. And every time Batwoman came on, all I kept doing was, lesbian! And I was really happy that they showed her...
Like, straight up
and
hitting on some chick.
They were unashamed of that, and they didn't scale it back or make it like a little implied thing. So it was like wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It was no.
Here's my number.
I'm a les. Where are the badges at? For me, that really worked.
Oh my god, if that was in the movie, I wouldn't get
that. I think that really worked, and it really stood out as, for me, and I'm not saying it's just because I'm gay, but this was a really big step forward, I think, for these films, because A, they haven't been that great to women, and B, this is now women loving women, and it's not treated as, like, you know, Nightwing's not giggling in the background. Mm. Going, ooh, she likes girls. Like, it's treated as it's just the norm.
Yeah.
And
but did we get enough... Did we get enough Batwoman? Like, we had another Batman origin story. We had fuzzy Batwoman past. I don't think there's enough.
Every time... And I said it, every time she was on in a scene, she stole it, I felt.
Mm.
And I wanted to see more of her and less of Batman.
Australian voice actress, too. Which is good. I wish I remember. I think Yvonne something or other. There's an interview with her in the cast through DC Entertainment on YouTube, so check it out.
Mm.
It's very good.
Yes.
But Damien, I cannot warm to this kid. And
I love Damien.
If he's going to be running Teen Titans versus Justice League, I'm going to be tentative going into that movie. I don't know.
I do like that he's unapologetically a dickhole. Like, he understands it and he's aware of it. But we also, like, we did see the death of his mum, and Batman did put a really nice consoling hand on his shoulder, and what looked like for days, because when you cut to him again, his hand's still on his shoulder. like, he was fathering the shit out of that moment. But, like, Damien is okay. I think he brings a bit more to the Robin character than the, you know, what people expect from Robin, which is when look, granted, anyone outside of like the key knowledge base, when they think of Robin, they think of 66 Batman, you know, and that's the polar opposite of Damien, and I like that personally.
Mm. But it also raises the question, like, where's Jason? Where's Tim?
We were thinking that too, because when we were watching this and when we when Batman first confronts what is the heretic, and I'm like, you know, I know you, but you don't, you know, sort of, yes. And I'm like, god damn, if this guy's Jason Todd, I'm gonna punch the TV.
Yeah.
If I saw another bit of content that had Jason Todd as the
masked villain
antagonist, I would have screamed. But luckily they didn't go that way, which is good. I really thought they were going to, but where's Red Robin? You know, where's Jason Todd at?
Like Jason Todd, I mean, like, he could be there still in the universe unmentioned, because all you need is a Robin suit in the Batcave, and that's enough to hint. So that means we still have a storyline of Red Hood. They could, I know they've already done the film, but there's still a possibility for them to bring him back into this new Bat universe, which is good. Yeah. I mean, like, he's such an interesting character.
What about Tim Drake as Red Robin? Now, he's certainly not as exciting as Damian Wayne, Dick Grayson, or Jason Todd, but he's still part of the canon. He's still part of that Bat family.
One thing I love about Tim Drake, this is what made him go up a notch for me, is that he figured out that Batman needs a Robin to stop him from going overboard and just killing. Like, if you have a kid beside you, you're not going to kill all the bad guys in front of him. So I think that's like the mentality Tim brought. It's almost like Batman needs a Robin, and he didn't set out to be Robin, but he found himself filling those shoes. So I think it's that was really cool, I thought, for Tim Drake, and he's a good character. He's a good kid, and I mean, like, maybe this universe needs that out of all of the Chip's shoulders and dark past people.
Speaking of sidekicks, we haven't mentioned anything about Batwing, the first on-screen appearance of Batwing outside of the comic books. Does anyone want to talk a little about Luke Fox?
I mean, like, it's great that we have him. We have a bat hero of colored skin. Like, that's amazing. But they didn't do anything with his character. Like, I don't think he actually aided the story.
Nope. No, I didn't think he brought anything that made me go, oh, I'm glad he's involved.
I'm pretty sure everyone would have died if he didn't save them at the end when they fell off a cliff. So if that's not bringing something to the table, I don't know what is.
That's one moment, though. I mean,
when you fall off a cliff, and it's Bruce Wayne, and it's Batwoman, and it's Robin.
Batwoman didn't fall, though.
There were three people they saved.
Yeah, it was Damian, Dick, and Bruce.
Oh, well, only the least important characters.
Yeah, I mean, Batwoman could go on back to the city and just taking care of everything by herself. I mean, Renee Montoya, whatever, she'd become the Question. They could take care of everything. Done.
Girl power.
I think
Brit's put in a nice little bow there.
Yeah. Look, Batgirl's coming on the scene as well. Bat chick crazy.
Oh, God.
Okay. Girl. That was beautiful. Do we have any other lasting moments from this film, or will we totter along to the next little show?
Next.
Oh, yeah, so what I'll quickly say, though, is for some reason this didn't hook me as much as it did, say, like, The Dark Knight Returns or Under the Red Hood. I think because of that, I think Alison mentioned this as well, because of the mixed match of storylines, it didn't feel like a nice cohesive story for me, and it really took me out of it. I think that's why I'm probably more excited for Killing Joke, but I wanted to add that for some reason, because
you know what?
I like talking.
Just thinking more about Batwoman's history, it would have been great to have seen scenes with Dick Grayson and Kate, isn't it? Kate. Oh, what's Batwoman's last name? Anyway, like
Kane.
Kate Kane. Like, what? There just should have been more for Kate. Like, it almost felt like her origin story, and I think that was amazing, but it was a little hollow. Anyway, Legends of Tomorrow. We could debate on its hollowness as well. Alistair, give us a bit of a rundown.
Oh, my God. So I'm going to read my review, and this is the uncut version that I wanted to write, but I was told it's probably a bit too graphic.
So wait, do I need to get the Biff and Pals ready?
I think you need to get them very ready.
Oh, no.
So, what a f***ing asshole is the phrase I kept uttering all through this week's episode of DC's Legends of Tomorrow. After the shock of Connor slash Hawkman dying in last week's ep, Vandal Savage refuses to let his special brand of pure country evil let up. Guess what word I wasn't allowed to put in my review. This time around...
Isn't it Carter, though?
Savage.
Sorry?
Isn't it Carter, not Connor?
Oh my god, it is Carter.
So this is how much we care about this character, though.
Jesus. Anyway. This time around, the team has split up into groups for different assignments, with Dr. Stein and Ray teaming up to figure out a cure for Kendra, who has shards of that weird sword flying through her blood. Rip and Sarah couple up as a pair of investment bankers to try and track down the apparent source of Savage's power, the beginning of his wealth in the swinging... Well, I don't know why I said swinging. 1975. And that pretty much leaves Firestorm Guy, whose name I couldn't remember and couldn't be bothered to Google because he's that uninteresting.
Good old Jax.
Who gets coerced into helping Captain Cold and Heatwave steal an emerald to deliver to Cold's father to stop him from getting arrested and harming Snart's childhood memory of him. Hashtag who snarted. Safe to say...
Well done.
Things don't go to plan, and the three-story arc formula really helps highlight all of the characters getting their own story without getting lost in the large roster of superheroes that this show packs in.
The Ray Palmer, Stein, and Kendra storyline was a bit...
Amazing.
It was, but it was also a bit awkward.
Amazing.
I think maybe if they didn't have her in such a mini dress of a... I don't know, I thought it was uncomfortable.
It's a hospital gown.
It's a very skimpy hospital gown.
He shrank down and went inside her bloodstream.
Yeah, if we stop it at inside what? Her...
That was really cool in terms of demonstrating the power of the Atom Suit, which is great. And it did sort of touch on Ray as a character. But for some reason, I'm not... feeling any of the Hawk people. Like, Carter was a dickhole, and I'm actually glad he got stabbed because of him. And now that he's dead, she's suddenly in love with him and can't lay still without yelling his name and convulsing like a fool. In that same situation, she's convulsing, giving out nothing but exposition. Be like, oh, they're at exactly this place. Like,
because she's connected to Savage and she can see what's going on. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I kind of see where you're coming
from. So obvious.
But it just annoys me, really. I don't know why.
You did say that I hope that he gets his throat slit and people drink from his blood. And then the next second, look what happened.
From a trick learnt from Jack the Ripper, didn't Savage say? Nice.
Yeah,
this is like, for me, of all the DC shows, this is my favourite so far.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not into Arrow this season. Supergirl's up and down. The Flash got rid of Patty. Oh. Now, and for me, Legends of Tomorrow is just... delivering, and it's only three episodes, and for me, I really like it.
I feel like they've actually just said, I think they've like actually unleashed Sarah, actually. Like, I think her fight scenes are amazing.
Yeah.
Like, she always dishes out the best choreography.
Yeah, definitely. And like, quote of the episode goes to Firestorm for saying to Sarah, "I didn't realize you were into Eyes Wide Shut."
That was
hilarious.
Was that Firestorm or was that Heatwave?
Oh, Heatwave, sorry.
Yeah, that line, exceptional. Like, there's like, not many people will get that. That was great. But I did love that they touched on Snarks. I'm still sort of curious how they're going to bring those two into the fold. And I thought it was a really nice, sort of really touching story in... You know, he did it to try not to obviously look after himself, but as well as his mother and his sister, and that's huge.
Yeah.
And then you know, the timeline stayed the same, but
and I like that they're not both like instantly like, oh, we're in this team now, so we're going to be good guys.
Yeah.
Like, I like that they might do that, and I'm glad that they haven't. And This is something that my partner pointed out to me. Because we watched... This is the only DC show that he likes, can I just say. And he watches all of them with me. And this is the only one he likes. Did you think that, like, Rip and Sarah, for me, had the best storyline this week?
Yes.
Like, the strutting Hands into down. The bank in that 70s gear, just that scene was amazing.
I love how, like, they've shown another side to Sarah in this episode. They've shown that she can fight, which is amazing. But this episode, they've shown she is very intelligent. She's like, guys, we can't kill him, so let's just tear him down a peg to steal all his money. And not only that, they're walking in, and she's, like, doing this...
she went all Batman.
Yeah. I was going to say Sherlock style.
He's got calluses,
Calluses, stab in the back. This lady had a pistol behind the counter. You're blind, man.
Yeah, you got the marks on the back of their neck, so she knows where they're from. Nobody else notices.
Do you know what else she showed? She's a much better actress than Laurel.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes,
like,
indeed.
I like Sarah a million times better than I like Laurel.
Well, we can point out, though, that Laurel... I know, like, this is a bit of a reach, but Laurel has gotten amazingly better than she was.
I wouldn't say amazingly.
I reckon amazingly, and I hate to say it, but it's almost because she's taken a back seat and she's been able to grow with the small moments that she has had on the scene.
Canary cries constantly.
I've given up with canary cries. They're just never helpful. I'm not
just
happy
like
with
Laurel.
That. Yeah. But question of I guess like the human body. The human body. And we're also talking about the Atom.
This episode.
Wouldn't he have counted as a blood clot in her veins?
Well, maybe I think I don't know the science of it.
A blood clot would have stopped the blood from coming through, so yeah, but the body could have registered it as foreign, and if it wanted to, you know, send out antibodies to kill it. Like, that's unlikely. Like, if you wanted to get biological...
They probably didn't have enough money to do that, but how cool would that be?
Yeah. So he goes in there trying to stop it, but her body is stopping him, because they're like, you're not part of me. But then again, their body would already be responding to the dagger bits.
Yeah. Wouldn't Ray be covered in, like, goo when
comes out? That's what I said too. I'm like, where's the blood?
Yeah. And would the blood grow with him when he went back to normal size?
Would it be blood, or is he, like, so microscopic?
Platelets?
Is he in, like, the cells? Mm-hmm. Ryan, do you want to field that one?
Say that again, sorry.
Is it like it's not just blood, he's like so microscopic that he's beyond the blood, he's actually in the cells themselves, is that right?
He would be in more
like
the
plasma?
The plasma, yeah.
Right.
Because like although we didn't see blood cells per se, like he was relatively free flowing through those veins. So
we didn't see blood cells, we did see a per cell. Sorry. Keep going.
Yeah, you lost me.
Yeah, Dominic, the short answer is... I think the science of him going into her body is the least of the concerns.
True, the fact that he needs to shrink.
Yeah, like that defies his experiment.
My question is, when they were interrogating that guy from the bank, and he was talking about they gave this name to Rip Hunter because he'd attempted to kill Vandal Savage years ago and there was a legend about him, he smacks him to shut him up, but he doesn't punch him with a fist. I watched it back twice, and it's not a slap. It's kind of like a open-wristed
wallop
swipe.
Yeah,
oh, man,
like kind
like,
of
ever,
taps him.
Oh, dude! Like if you get punched, like being punched with just the wrist, like just the lower part of the hand, hurts more than a punch. Like it's the worst.
Well, that's what he got right to the face. A love tap.
Yeah, there is some, like, the problem is, yeah, this is going to sound super braggy, but Dylan can back me up here, with my TV, because it's nice and pretty, and it's, like, all the Ultra HDs, everything looks like a set, and it's really hard to step away from that.
Problem with HD.
Yeah, the added grittiness, like, of a slightly lower quality sort of adds to it, but, it's a downside for a spectacular television.
Yeah, it does look very not good. I prefer VHS.
VHS. Oh, the good old days. Jumping over to Arrow, and I think I lost count of the dead arrows this episode. But after some time of being locked away as a League prisoner, Nyssa escapes and goes on a mission to find a Lotus Elixir. Meanwhile, in Star City, Team Arrow go up against the parkour crazy thief who has been stealing new technology that could take down the interwebs. That would be a big task. The team not only learn that the thief is working for the Calculator, but that Thea's bloodlust is taking a toll in a whole new way. Because she is refusing to kill, her body is actually sucking the life from herself, causing the initial wound caused by Raz to appear. That was really cool, seeing the wound appear on her chest, like this knife, like sword. It's all yuck and old. Well, I thought it was cool. But was anyone else keeping count? Like, how many return characters was there this episode?
Like, Felicity even brings it up. She's like, oh, okay, he's back. All right, cool. But the difference is, it's not technically a dead arrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah. My hope, so I think it was last week or the week before, was that each episode from now on would bring someone else to, like, their deathbed and make you think it's going to be them in that grave, and then it didn't actually happen. And last week, who was it last week? It was Felicity-ish the last week. Mm. This week it's Thea. Next week it'll be Diggle who almost dies. Like, it's ridiculous that they're like, oh, is it Thea that's in the grave? No, it isn't. Who's it going to be this week? Yeah.
Yeah, but there was... Okay, well, if I was actually grouping everyone in as dead arrows, but even just return characters, because we have Nyssa, we have Katana, we have Shadow, we have, Arsenal coming back as well. It was just, it's like, I was so happy just seeing these people return, because I understand the whole, like, Arrow's dragging a bit, but then having watched it all the way through, and I felt like I was being rewarded. It's like, this is where Katana is right now. This is where Nyssa is. This is this and that and all that. And I was very pleased, to say the least.
Can I say that the whole subplot of Felicity not believing in herself enough to give a presentation was some of the worst television I've ever seen?
Oh my god, I know. Right?
Like, because you're in a wheelchair doesn't mean you can't give a presentation. You just sit still.
They're implying that this is the be-all of end-all of presentations, and it goes for approximately a minute and a half.
Oh, the worst PowerPoint presentation I've ever seen. She's like, it powers this building, and then on the back it says, it powers this building.
But literally no proof of this. and the presentation felt like a Year 9's presentation of, here are some other famous people that made Batch. Like, some other famous electronic people. Like, it was pretty hacky.
They couldn't even get a picture of Ray Palmer either. She was like, Tesla and Edison and Ray Palmer, but I don't have a slide for that one. I'm in a wheelchair.
Well, it is... I mean, like, it kind of...
And then there was a slow clap, and they stood up, and, like, crying. Oh, they had tears in his eyes, like, this is the best presentation ever!
I think that, I thought the first section was a bit... It was really clumsy and all that. But when the board member came up to Felicity, it was kind of... I think it was addressed well. It was kind of like, look, you're still getting a hang of your wheelchair. We're going to need you to ask you to still take some time. But he's just a douchebag over it, which made Felicity, of course, feel like, oh, crap, am I ever going to actually... Excuse the term. Am I ever going to be able to find my feet again? Because, but it is, like, that's a big thing. I am going to continuously bring up Oracle now, and I apologize, but it is a continuous thing with Oracle as well, and we see it in Birds of Prey, where it's like, it does come up, like, people notice the chair, and it does change their lives completely.
Yeah, but, like, they're implying that she can't, she just doesn't know how to use the chair, and then it's like, she can use the chair.
You don't need to use the chair to give a presentation. Why is she rolling back and forth? It's the most boring presentation anyway. Sit still, behind a podium, read the script. I don't understand. It made it out to be this huge moment where she'd really achieve something and overcome adversity, but she's just sitting there doing a speech. It's like then they carry her out and they hoist her above their heads down the hallway. I'm like, really? Like, She said like five lines and pulled a cloth off a chip. You don't need to stand to do that. I don't know. It felt bigger than it was.
But one thing that was amazing and blew my mind, I mean, like, the creators and stuff of Arrow were promising this, that we'd see who Felicity's dad was, and I did not see this coming. Did you guys click at all?
No. I liked it when he was sitting next to her, and he's like, wow, she really is something. I'm like, oh, it's the guy!
Oh my goodness, like, what's going to happen? Like,
yeah, and then when she, like, turned around and there was this real, like, evil music, like, ba ba ba, and she's like, oh, it's you, my dad.
Dad. I was like, this is amazing. And listen to me bring up Oracle again. You guys are going to hate me. But he is the anti-Oracle in the comic book universe for listeners at home. And to describe him, if you pop on the DC Domination Facebook page, you'll find this panel where he pretty much explains who he is. He says, I have stood beside Luthor and Black Adam and Vandal Savage, and they all respected and feared me. With no powers, no costume, nothing but the brain in my skull, I made them fear me. I know that mind, I know that data. So this guy is super intelligent. He's like, to have Luthor fear you. I mean, stupid name. Very stupid name. But this is a big player entering the Arrow universe.
Yeah, no, I certainly agree. It was nice to have him pop up. You know, another bat villain, but sure.
Yeah, true. True.
It's pretty solid.
What about, just thinking of Sarah's fight choreography in the last episode, Nyssa always also had very good fight choreography, and they had her and Katana doing, like, even the start of the episode was amazing with their fight clubs going on, but they pitted Katana and Nyssa together in a pretty fun fight of the swords. Clash of the metal.
It was very cool. So it's like, we're clearly evenly matched, bitch, stop fighting now. Okay.
Well, I think it's...
Wouldn't they say we'll fight for days?
Yeah.
One of us needs to sleep or eat? I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it and I did not get the feeling that they were evenly matched and they'd be fighting for days. I was like, okay.
Well, they hadn't been fighting for days. I mean, she was just saying, if we kept going...
I didn't mind that they would, but like, I didn't see it as this intense battle. It was just like, all right. I'm finding myself getting slowly more and more cynical about these shows for some reason. I don't know why.
Dylan, it's Dylan. Blame Dylan.
I'm rubbing off on you. Yeah.
Dylan and his
literally
hatred
and physically
of Doomsday. But even like with Calculator, it just gives, like, if they're going off the same idea of this this panel, it gives the idea that there's another connection between Legends of Tomorrow and Arrow. I mean, will Vandal Savage cross paths with the Arrow again? Will he meet up with Damien Dark again? I mean, I love this universe they're creating. There's just... Guys, I'm having a nerd out here, freaking out.
You didn't talk about Roy at all, did we?
Roy? No, we didn't. But, he's babing, as always. I love the scene between him and Thea. I felt that was honest. I felt that was... They've grown so much since the first time they met. Mm. And I like that. I like being able to say, you are different, and it's for the better. Even if to say, you are different, and that's for the worse. But it's just change. Like the show is moving, which is good.
Like, yeah, I certainly do see we're coming from there, because when he did pop up, and like with Shadow popped up as well, it got me thinking about those earlier seasons. And I'm like, wow, this show's come a long way since where it first started. And I was like, oh, it's kind of impressive to see where it, you know... Like, because Shadow was such a prominent character, and we've not seen her in such a long time. And the same for Roy. It was very interesting to go down that thought process.
But that flashback with Shadow, at first I had no idea what was going on. And I think that's what it's meant to do. But I hate it when TV shows and movies do this... It's all in your head, but is it? And he wakes
it's
up
a
with, like...
Dream.
Yeah, he wakes up with an item from his dream, and it's kind of like... Guys, like, Arrow's sort of meant to be the more gritty, not so much powers and spiritual stuff, and I know it's changed in this season, but I always hate it when the realms of dream and reality mix and collide. So you hated it, Alistair, and you've been quite patiently just sitting there.
I know, because I just have nothing good to say. I'm finding this season in particular is boring as batshit. It's just there's nothing in it that I like.
Not even Felicity's storyline?
The Felicity thing was shocking, and then now they've kind of just brushed it off, and it's just a little bit...
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just not interesting at all to me, and I'm just struggling to continue to want to watch this show, to be honest.
All right, let's turn the question on its head then, Alice. So what did you find the worst in this episode?
Oh my god, I don't know where to start. I think I need to do a podcast on what's wrong with Arrow.
Oh no.
Because I really can't... it's all just as bad as each other. I think Roy coming back, I was like, really? You're that out of ideas? Really? Like, I didn't find it... I don't know. I just hate this show now. I actually hate it. And I never thought I'd say that about Arrow, because it was the show that started it all, some would say. Mm. And I just think I find that The Flash is so much better. And even Legends of Tomorrow for me is better than this right now. So I don't know if it looks bad by just by comparison.
I'm going to say by comparison, because I assume what you like about The Flash is it is a little bit more comic-y, it is a little bit more lighthearted, it doesn't take itself so seriously. And I think, like, I'm assuming here, but like with Arrow, because it has set up that grounded, super real, super angsty environment, it has to continue that
but,
theme.
But it's also gone into, and as they openly say, it's gone into the like mysticism side of things, and they haven't explored that enough, I feel. I feel like Damien Dark is being underused this season. Like, what, he's popping up every 5 episodes because you want people to remember that he's still there and a threat? It's just, I don't know, I just don't like it. It's just, it feels like all the good writers are on The Flash and Supergirl and Legends of Tomorrow, and I feel like Arrow's suffering because of it. It's not as good as it should be. And they can tweet all they want saying, oh, this week, shocking revelation. Like, and it's just not that shocking.
Yeah, I've not been shocked by like, Arrow for a while.
I think the only thing that shocked me a little bit was the accident with Felicity and Oliver. Then I was like, oh my god. And then I was like, they wouldn't kill off Felicity. And nope, they didn't. Nope. And now I'm like, you know what? I actually don't care who dies. I hope, hopefully it's Arrow when the show's over. But we know that's
not true. Wow. That would be a twist.
There was
I think back to when the season started and we were in freaking Coastal City and the possibilities for this show seemed amazing and we knew we were going to get Damien Dark and Hive, and now it just feels, I don't know, just it could just be mid-season slump. So for me this is 3 episodes in a row of Snortown. So I'm hoping that it's just been set up for
amazingness.
Show you some amazing stuff. Is my fingers crossed, please God moment.
I do have a question though that I'm so glad I remembered. The other night I was thinking back to when Deadshot was hired to kill Andy Diggle. Was that woman the one that was killed by Double Downs, or was that Damien Dark's wife? Like, if it's his wife, then it just shows how much more she is actually entwined with Hive. How she, like, we already know she's twisted. But how, like, how far is her hand in the honey jar? I don't know what the, I don't know what the thing is for that. But, yeah. Like, there you go, listeners. Go find out. Tell me, because I'm lazy and I can't be bothered Googling. But an interesting, did you guys notice when they put the bomb, the mercenaries for Calculator, when they put the bomb in the wherever it was, had Cadmus on it? No?
Cadmus Everdeen?
Cadmus.
Like, that would be a crossover.
Okay, hang on. Elsa, Superboy,
yeah.
Young Justice,
ooh.
Project Cadmus.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, so they had that, and there was another mention I think was on along the same lines from Supergirl, when Maxwell Lord was saying Prometheus, and I'm pretty sure that's another thing of Lex Corp and Cadmus and Prometheus and stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So that was just that. That was another little exciting, I don't know, just reveal, I guess, I saw this episode. But do we have anything bursting we need to say about this episode, or shall we wrap up and nick off?
Yeah, bye Felicia.
Bye Felicia.
Just ugh, get better or get out.
Just get out of my face.
Well, I do have a question.
Go.
Ryan, can I have some cheese?
Yeah, sure, dude.
All right, thanks. I'm going to get some cheese.
Alrighty, well, that was the episode this week. That was weird. Eating the cheese right now is Dylan, who runs the stuff over at Marvelous. Dylan, where can we listen to you in your Marvelous podcasts?
We will be up with another episode of the Marvelous YouTube podcast tomorrow, just in time for Deadpool coming out on Thursday the 11th, which is this week. Very exciting, and hopefully we'll have a review Thursday for that.
Fantastic. And as well on the YouTube, you can go check out the pop culturist section, where I think you're splitting it up now, aren't you, Ryan?
We are. We found that an hour and a half video is really daunting, especially on YouTube. So we thought, let's split it. Let's have two bite-sized pieces of 40 minutes. That should be enough to tide over. And then you come, you get all your week in geek, all your nerdy news, and then you find out what the big feature is for that week.
Fantastic. And as well, along the lines of Batman Bad Blood, you can listen to more of Alice's review on our Podomatic section. Is it under DC Domination, Alice? Take it away. Where can we find it?
Well, if you're subscribed to us on iTunes, which you all are, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It will actually be in your playlist now, because it's on iTunes. But if you feel like listening to any other of my audio reviews, you can head over to soundcloud.com/Alistair.
Fantastic. And all of us post some awesome written reviews and just all these different types of pop culture influenced work on novastream.com.au, so go check them out. You're pretty much only going to hear my voice either here or on the DC Who's Who of DCU. Do you guys have any suggestions for the next video?
Yeah,
wow, I heard about five things.
The calculator.
Alrighty, so keep your eyes open for the calculator on Who's Who of DCU. And that's a wrap. So may all your universes be pretty darn awesome.
You're listening to DC Domination on the NovaStream Network, your weekly guide for the DC Comics universe. For all the latest on The Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow, keep it locked on novastream.com.au.